is good morning, everybody. It is good to be here in the Southside region. It took me over an hour getting here this morning on the M25, and I drove into Salford and I said, wow, you know, this is a different part of London, but it's great to be in London. It's a promise, sir. No, you know, we live in Kent, and Kent is known as the Garden of England. And we all know that in the beginning, everything happened in the garden. So we've come here this morning just to come and encourage you and be with you here today. All right then, okay. All right. But my wife and I, we are just very encouraged to be with you all this morning. Do want to say thank you for inviting us here this morning. I'm here today with my lovely wife, and I'm here today with our son Tosin, who's sitting on the second row there with the teens there. It's great to be here. Temi, our daughter Tosin is 18, and Temi, our daughter, is finishing university this year. She's part of the central region of the church with the Hinkles, and she's worshiping with them later on today, this afternoon. I think it's such a joy and a privilege to be with you here this morning. You know, there are so many people here that we love and respect, and who have been around us for many years in the church. And you know, I could mention so many names, you know, but if you mention one, people come to you after the fellowship and say, you didn't mention my name. So love you all, okay? Amen. But you know, you want to keep things very, very simple, isn't that right? You know, you didn't mention my name, you understand? So we don't want to do that. And do want to thank you so much for your example and your sacrifice for Jesus Christ. You know, we're also thankful for Corey and Angela, the Stock family. And it was great meeting Angela's mom this morning, just for your sacrifice, for leaving the shores of Richmond, Virginia. God bless America. And for coming down here, you know, and I do want to thank them just for your leadership and what you bring here. We were hearing stories of how you're building family here and how the church is growing their faith. It's okay to clap, clap. It's okay. It's okay. And it's great just to be to see the work you're doing, and just to really see how you're building the Southside region. And the church in London, we're grateful. It's been just a joy for us. I'm in London here. It's been wonderful having them as part of our staff, and in London. And Corey and Angela bring so much, and we are grateful for our growing friendship. And thank you so much. Do you understand? Thank you so much for that. You know, if you're visiting with us here today, we're a church that we just love God. We love the Bible. Sinners as we may be, we love God. We love the Bible, and every day, every Sunday, you know, it's just a feast of singing, a banquet of the Word of God, and yet we have, you know, a delicacy here today. So, you know, when you come to church, you know, you don't just get a one-course meal. You get, you know, you come here, you get the singing, you get the preaching, and you get food afterwards. It's always a three-course meal. All right. So here we go. Here we go. So welcome here. You know, if you're visiting with us also, I want to say thank you for coming. And I hope that, you know, what I have to say today will really help your hearts, will help all of our hearts. You know, the theme for the message today is true love. You know, and, you know, that is such a great word, true love. What is true love? What is true love? You know, it's been said that love makes the world go round. You understand? I don't know about you, do you understand? But I know that next year I would have been married for 25 years. So I'm looking forward to that. You know what I'm saying? You know, age wine is good. You know, we grow. Do you understand? The Lord has been maturing us. So I'm looking forward to our 25th year in marriage. I'm sure many of us are probably looking forward to that. There were the hours and the gasps. I hope it wasn't a gasp of pain, but a gasp of joy coming from you right there. Do you understand? But you know, people say love makes the world go round. Others have said the greatest force on earth is love. So many songs have been written about love. It's so good loving somebody. Teddy Pendergrass. See, what are you? That's a throwback. That's a throwback. Okay, let's not go there. Let's stick to Jesus. Let's stick to Jesus this morning. Don't want to go there. Countless books are written about love. The five love languages, Gary Chapman. So many things have been written. And yeah, you know, so many, you know, when you look at some of our bookshelves, we see so many books on love. It is the theme of many movies. And yeah, we've got to be really careful, because Hollywood sometimes can portray a false love, which is not real love, do you understand? And so we don't find real love in the movies from Hollywood. We find real love in the Bible, with God, with Jesus, his son. Certainly, love is universal. It's a universal need in the world today. And as powerful and relevant as love is, as exciting and real as love is, human love can be limited. Human love can really be limited. And so this morning, I really pray today that we can really tap into the scriptures today and really look at the heart of God, the heart of His Son, and what real love is all about. Why? Because love, sometimes human love, sometimes can be conditional and it can diminish over time. And I pray that this morning, for every single one of us, you can walk out of here with one or two things about your life, about your relationship with God, and for you to be honest with yourself about where do I really stand with God in my sense of really loving our Savior. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we are thankful for allowing us to worship you today. Thank you so much for the songs, for the communion, Father, for the fellowship. Father, this is just a taste of what is going to come. I don't know what heaven is going to be like, but I know it's going to just be an endless place of unconditional love, of worship and fellowshipping with our Father in heaven. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for being patient with us, for bringing us to this point. I pray that as we walk out of here today, that true love will reign in our hearts. Be with me as I speak. In your sons and we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Alright. Here we go. 1 John 4. Are we there? Verse 16. Turn on your pad eyes. Turn on your phone eyes. Open your Bibles. I love the scroll. I love reading from the scriptures. They don't crash. They don't have bugs. That's why I carry them around. They don't run out of battery. Amen. This is just a timer right here. This is just a timer. But that's okay. 1 John chapter 4, let's get into the word. Verse 16. Bible reads, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." True love. I've just got 2 points today. My first point, God is love. And my second point, love is made complete. Point number one, God is love. You know, one thing that I know, Valentine's has just gone by. And for so many of us, you know, as we looked at, you know, our wives, there was nothing that crossed our mind in terms of saying, wow, you know, I love my wife so much, I want to express my love. And I know we express our love to our wives every single day. Not just on Valentine's, okay? There was some silence in the room there, but we're not going to talk about that today, but we'll move on. But you see, the whole thing is, you know, I think, you know, we've got to wonder within our hearts that there's a yearning within our lives and our hearts about God's love for us, that we can know that I feel secure in God's love. You know, ever wonder why you were created? Have you ever wondered, why am I on earth? Have you ever wondered, why am I living? God has a reason for every single one of us here on earth. You are not an afterthought. You are not an afterbirth. God has a reason for having you here on earth. Sometimes we compare ourselves to people and say, well, God, you love that person more than this person. No, God loves every single person. All right. The number one reason each of us are born is because God loves us. He loves you. That's why you were created by God to love and to be loved. You know, God's love is probably the greatest thing in the universe. The very essence of God's being, his personality, his very nature is love. What was God's motivation? I was talking about the love of God. You know, in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Isn't that right? What did he do? That he gave. He gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. You know, we read about the story of what Jesus gave. Do you think it was easy for God to give his Son? Do you think it was easy for God to come down and give his one and only son? And you know, individually, he did that for you as an individual here this morning. He did that for you. If you were the only person on earth, God would have still sent his son. With a heart of yearning, with a heart of love. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, in the book of Isaiah, about a mother. Can a mother forget her child? You understand? That God will say, I will never leave you or forget you. There's a special kind of love. You might be sitting down here. You might be saying, well, you know, I've had challenges in my life. God still loves you. Well, you know, my life is between a hard rock. Isn't that right? Is it a rock and a hard place? God still loves you. You know what I'm saying? But you know, look at the story of Jesus and what he gave. God gave his sinless, his spotless, his stainless son to die on the cross with his arms wide open. That is the cross, and you know, that's why we have communion. That's why with his extended hands, nailed to the cross. And I want to appeal to your hearts today to please make some room for God in your life again. I don't know, for some of us, you know, we come from backgrounds where we haven't felt God's love. I grew up in a religious home. I grew up in a home, in Nigeria. My parents, I thank God for the beliefs that they put in me. But you know, growing up, you know, even though I went to church, I don't think I really experienced, because a lot of times we normally say we see God and experience God through our relationships, through our fathers. Now, I love my dad so much. I grew up having, you know, they call it a disease back then in the early centuries. It was known as cruelty and tyranny, known as asthma. Because, you know, when you have asthma, you cannot breathe. So back in the early days, in medieval times, they called it tyranny and cruelty. And, you know, my dad, all throughout my life, till my dad died, my dad never told me that he loved me. My dad never told me, never came out of my dad's heart that he loved me. But you know, not until I came into the church, when I became a disciple, men that mentored me in terms of, you know, it is okay, love can be found in the fellowship. And I thank God for the men who have gone before me, who have shown me how to love. And I got to tell you, hands raised up here, because of God's love, I've grown in my love. Because sometimes when you haven't experienced something, it's hard for you to give. You understand? I don't know where you are this morning. You understand? No, for me, I within my heart of hearts, you understand? You know, expressing yourself, getting gushy, getting all mushy, love you. You know, there's a, you know, sometimes you kind of feel, man, just be a man. But you know, Jesus. But you see, the heart of Jesus was one of love. Isn't that right? And so when you come into the church, you become more like Jesus Christ. Look at what it really cost Jesus. It cost him his one and only son. It cost him his best. God sent his son because God is giving you his best. He wants to give you his best. Isn't that right? He wants you to have a life to the full. When I think about my life, I look at some of the benefits I have in my life. Life to the full. Where would I have gotten the advice, you understand, to have a great marriage? Why? Because God loves me. God used men and women of God to nurture and help my life and help my heart. You know, when I look at my marriage, when I look at my parenting, I say, man, God, you have been working. I don't know where my life would have been if God's love wasn't in my life. I would be like anybody else out there in the world. You know, are we expressing love to one another this morning? Where is your life? How is your life this morning? You know, the sad truth is that many of us, or some people today, have heard that God loves them, but they simply don't believe it. Maybe you've had a challenging past. Maybe you've gone off track. Maybe you started out well, but you've gone off track. And you look at God and you kind of say, you know, God, are you really there? God is still there. He loves you. You know, the reality of God's love is this. God sent his son in human form to touch your life. And you know, this morning, he wants to touch your life again. Whether you're a disciple, whether you're a member, whether you're visiting for the first time, he wants to touch your life. Are you going to allow him? God uses people. He uses the word. He uses experiences around us to really connect. He wants to try and connect with you on a level that you never connected with God before. His kindness, his compassion. When somebody puts their arms around and say, I know and I understand. I'm a man. I'm still growing in my empathy. We'll never know all of the answers. But it's something that we can keep on growing in. God is love. You know, 1 John 4, verse 8. Look at what it says. Are we there? 1 John 4 verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, how much love is there in your heart this morning? How much love is there in your heart? Do you know God? Because he says, right here, he says, whoever does not love God, does not know God, because God is love. That is his being. God is love. Our world has tainted the whole idea of love. Where people are cheated in relationships or in marriages. And we see that, we think, man, God, how can that be? God is love. God will never leave you. Maybe you feel abandoned. God will never leave you. What stops us from experiencing the love of God? Maybe there are hurts. Maybe there's abuse in your life. Maybe there are failures. It could even be hypocrisy. That stops us from even saying, God, how can I love you? I have been let down. Ultimately, what stops us is self. You know, we live in a world today where idolatry, we don't want to talk about idolatry. Too many times when self becomes bigger than God, there's a problem. There are self sins. Sins like self-righteousness. I know more. I can't see my sin. God, I am okay. Then you want to experience God's love. Sins like self-pity. Woe is me. You know, you look in the mirror. Sometimes I look at yourself. The Bible says in Psalm 139, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. But you know what, Lord? Man, you know, I wish I looked like Ian. I wish I spoke like Corey. Oh man, you know, wow, you understand, you know. I wish I was just as excited as Jackie Frimpong. And we start to make comparisons. And based on those comparisons, we kind of gauge and use that to gauge how much God loves us. But God is simply love. Doesn't really matter what color you are, where you're from, how you speak. Doesn't really matter. We're all equal. God loves you. We're all equal. You know, self-confidence, arrogance. When we don't take correction and we say, man, you know, these are things that will stop us from seeing the heart of God. Self-sufficiency. We live in a society that is so self-sufficient today that people don't even think that God loves, because hey, it's all work and it's all getting more. Do you understand? And we talk about keeping up with the Joneses. I've never met them. Don't know where they live. But I keep on hearing, keeping up with the Joneses. I don't know the Joneses. But I've heard that as I've grown up, you know, in terms of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. Who are they? Life is full of self, self-sufficiency. I got to tell you, we live in a country today where you walk into the store, you can pick up anything you want. Where shelves are stacked. Every Sunday, you know, you do your DIY. People are so self-sufficient today that they can't even know that there is a God who loves them so much to turn their hands back to this God. That's true love. But the idolatry of our nation stops people from really seeing the heart of this God that we worship. It's all about self. It's self. This, you go to Borders bookstore, we had one in the UK before, or you go to Waterstones, the amount of self-help books on the shelves today, I tell you, it is sickening. Get rid of those self-help books, isn't that right? And put some Bibles there and things to help people understand who God really is. We need God, more God, 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 God. That's what we need, because God is love. Self-admiration. Narcissism. Hey, sisters, man, we look wonderful and beautiful today. Absolutely. We look fine. I look fine myself. I dressed up for the occasion. All right. Let me just challenge myself. That was self-admiration. So, the preacher's preaching to himself. Amen. But I got to tell you about the demon of an age that we live in today. the cosmetic industry, over $5 billion in profit today. And so what I'm saying right here, as we talk about this great God, that we don't just work on the physical, what is on the outside. We work on what really matters to God, the inside, our hearts. What people do not see, wonderfully and beautifully made, that comes from the inside, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. You know, one of the greatest mistakes we make is we measure God's love for us by our present circumstances. That's how we measure it. One of the things that are going bad for us, then God must really hate me. No, he doesn't. God puts us through challenging times to mold us, to test our hearts, to stretch us, to help us to love him. Because that is where true love is really tested. I mean, I'm married, do you understand? So are you telling me that when you have a fight with your wife, you're going to say, that is his marriage over? Because he had a little, what is that? It's tested. But the love is still there. That's the foundation we build our lives on. And sometimes we assume that God only works only through the successes that we have. When things are going well, God must love me. When things are not going well, God hates me. I think that's a childish way of thinking. God does not think that way. Is there a jobless? Is there some loss in your life? Are there relationship problems? You know, when we look at relationships, you know, it was going well. God, you were there. It's not going well. God is trying to teach you some things. You know, tension with the kids. Life's at a standstill. God still loves you. And don't pull your heart back. You know, one thing I love about the God that we worship, we were having a chat with a couple yesterday. And when we got in there, we were talking about prayer times. You know, we got together with them, and we're just talking about, you know, our lives as disciples. Is every single time when we talk about our prayer lives, because it begins and ends with your walk with God. And we were kind of talking about that, and just about God's love and why we need to connect with God. And then the gentleman said, you know one thing I'm convicted about. When I see the Muslims, he says our work. He says we have probably one or two toilets. And he says one of them was, but he says, I saw this guy, the Muslim guy, in there holding up the toilet for half an hour. And he came out with his back rolled. Because he was speaking this way. And he says, man, I got convicted because there was a passion about prayer to a God who gives rules. But we talk to a God that we can have a personal relationship with. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we can feel this God. But he was kind of saying the mindset about this personal God who longs for the time when you can simply talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Do you understand? The God, he wants you to think of him, think about him. He wants you to ask for help from him. Not the addiction of alcohol or sex. Because too many times in our world today, people run to these things to get love. No, God is love. All these things end up, whether it's addiction, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex. And we kind of think, man, these things can make me feel good. Temporary goodness. Short-term pleasure. Long-term pain. God is love. God is love. He wants you to know that he's concerned about every single aspect of your life. You know, the sad thing, many people ignore them their entire lives. And when they're in their old age, then they dial the 999 God, where are you all these years? And God is saying, I've been around for the past 70 years or for eternity. I'm still there. I'm waiting. And you know, this morning, I don't know. I just really want to encourage you as I round up here, to not pull back, but to give your hearts. You know, they ignore him all their entire lives, never think about him, never try to find out what he's like. Can you please find out what God is like? Do you understand what I'm saying? Find out what he's like, never take the time to get to know him, never talk to him, never ask for his guidance. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, today is not a coincidence that you're here today. It is a God incident. Come on. You know, in Acts chapter 17, let's see the Bible. Acts 17. Acts 17. God is love. I hope you're feeling his love this morning. I hope you're feeling it in your life, in your career, in your marriage. If you're single, you're feeling the blessings of what it means to be loved by God. And if you're visiting here for the first time, I hope that you open up your hearts to want to be loved by this great God. You know, in Acts 17, Bible reads quickly here, Acts 17. Are we there? In verse 24, the Bible reads, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." I love that. He gives you what? Life and breath and everything else. What else do you want? What else do you want? It says, "For one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us." You know, I experienced God's love, you know, coming from a family where, you know, the hugs from the mom, the handshake from the dad when he did well. Sometimes the handshake wasn't there. "Well done, son, well done." Say amen. Encouraging. But you know, my life in Chicago as a student, I went to America to study. And I experienced the love of God because, you know, right here, it says God determines the times and the places. You being here today is not an accident. You know, in Chicago, I've been there for 5 years. I've lived the party life. Smoked my Marlboros. Drank my Colt 45. I lived it up. I was working, I remember, at a 7-Eleven in the summer. And I would go to DePaul University, do my calculus, and come back. And you know, back home, you know, and that year, 1985, when I studied the Bible and became a disciple, I remember later on in 84, there was just something that came over where I said, "I am fed up of living this life." And I got myself a Bible. I remember a Thompson Bible. It was a Thompson Bible, Revised Standard Version. And I started to pray. And I remember being at work, and my manager then was Tom Long. He was in Chicago, by Diversity and Clark, around that area. And I remember when the order came, and I collected the Bible at work. And my boss looked at me and he said, "Wow, you're reading the Bible?" Yeah, I said, "You know, kind of come from a religious home, because it's religion. When you're not putting it into practice, it's religion. It's not just churches, it's religion. Do you understand? When we attend church and we're just ticking the box and our hearts are not there, it is religion. And so whether you're a disciple or not, is you become religious. If you're just checking in the box of coming and attending and your heart is not engaged, it's religion." Sorry to say that. I hope I haven't burst some bubbles this morning. But Jesus said that. So I'm just saying what Jesus said. And agreeing with what Jesus said. Amen. So that's just a little side note right there. But I remember with Roger Polo reaching out to me and really helping my heart to see God. Helping my heart to say, you know what? There is something bigger than you. And I got to tell you, there were nights when I went to bed and I cried about where my life was at. And girlfriends. Yeah, but you kind of think life is empty. Yeah. And it was a man who sat me down and says, "Let me show you how much God loves you." I know you might be visiting here for the first time. You might be studying the Bible. The people, all they want to do is to show you how much God loves you. Please don't close your hearts. Open your heart wide. Because I know life might be tough. And even you might be sitting down here, life is okay. That is true. But let me tell you something. Don't take any chances. I appreciate Roger for sharing the Bible with me. For showing me God's love, for showing me His standards. I know I'm eternally grateful. And July 31st, 1995, I was baptized into Christ, and I haven't looked back. And I thank God for that. For somebody to take his time. I know, I was a little bit suspicious. In a cafeteria, you're eating, you're having a nice meal of fish burger, and then somebody comes, a big guy, and says, "Are you a Christian?" Hand on heart, I said no. There was no religious pride. I said no. Because there was so much pain in my heart. And I seen how much I had drifted. I was honest. I know you got to get honest with yourself today about where you're really at. Get honest with yourself. And when you get honest, that is where freedom starts. That's where freedom begins. Don't walk in here and everybody asking in a fellowship, you know, "How's life?" "Fine." work great. How are you? Awesome. Just get real, you know. Help comes around you, and then God comes in. You know, I appreciate God's love. I love my wife. You know, God will go to any lengths to pull you in. You know, I remember when I was dating Bola. Bola and I lived on the same street in Nigeria. She knew my family, she knew my sisters, black and white pictures. They're with the family photographs. My younger sister. Many of you know Ebu. Pray that Ebu comes back. Amen. And there was a birthday party that Bola had. And we had it at home with my sister right there. She knew my sister, but she didn't know me. But from a balcony where we lived, right across the road, I used to, that's Bola right there. That's sister right there. You understand? We met in Chicago. We met in Boston. Bola became a disciple in 1985 in Boston. I became a disciple in 1985, in Clemson. I became a disciple in 1985 in Chicago. We met in Boston for a conference. Let me tell you something. And then I was looking all over the place, as a disciple for love. Some sister came here, didn't work out. Then Bola moved to London. Oh, and all hell broke loose. But the heart of love, you understand what I'm saying? When you're desperate for something, you get it. But I remember all over the church, I'm sure Eugene is there, some of the old timers right there. You understand? Every fellowship, praise God, Ruby Harris in heaven, new gallery, I'll make a beeline for Bola in the fellowship. And I remember Ruby calling me aside. Great lady, she was in her 70s then, nearly 80s, pulling me aside. She says, every Sunday I see in the fellowship making a beeline for your wife. For Bola. So behave yourself. Making a beeline. Pull me aside. Because she noticed. She noticed me in the fellowship. But let me tell you something. I praise God. Isn't that right? Isn't that what God does for us? He will chase you until he gets you. And I love that. I chase my wife. I'm glad we're married. I say hallelujah. God is chasing you right now. And he will not give up on you until you become his daughter or you become his son. Point number two. Love is made complete. Love is made complete. What are you lacking right now? What are you lacking? What are the things in your life that you are lacking in? You know, in verse 17, as we looked at 1 John, okay, I looked at the scripture, says, it's amazing because 1 John talks about God's love on us. And then towards the end, it starts talking about judgments. Because sometimes love can be very ushy, gushy, love this, love that. There's a reality right here. And there's another side that it says, in this way, love is made complete amongst us. We will have confidence on the day of judgment. That's scripture. How confident are you right now, today, in certain, about facing God on judgment day? Please remember that true love for God requires an investment in eternal things. Things of eternal value. What are you investing your life in right now? Amen. You read the papers, Evening Standard. There's a restaurant in town. I don't know where the restaurant is. Where a girl fell down from a restaurant to her death. Not just one, not just twice. In the city. These are people that look good on the outside. But let me tell you something. Are people prepared? Are you prepared today to meet your maker? What am I investing in? Is it money? What am I chasing? The rich young, the rich fool in the Bible, God says, so this very night your life will be demanded from you. And he says, these things happen to those who are not rich towards God. Is it money? Do you understand? Is it, are we living, all of us are going to become, at one stage we're going to become pensioners. Isn't that right? And the pension is good, and we can think it gives us security. It's your eternal salvation and security. That is the ultimate security that we're looking for. Is it your children? Do you understand? Are you investing in your children? Yeah, it's good to invest in them, but what investments are going into God? Your marriage, your education, how about your eternity? What is it for you? You know, God will never force you to love him. Because that will not be true love. He He's not going to force you today. God wants, he wants the relationship to be natural. Isn't that right? I mean, as much as I was there, I love Bola in the fellowship. If Bola had said no, that would have broken my heart. But let me tell you something, guys. When she said she was liking me, I was saying, the heart. That's what God wants. The heart. True love. Because why? Forced love will simply make you a robot. God is not about making robots. Isn't that right? He wants a genuine relationship that is based on his word. True love requires what? True conviction. And a desire to know and experience his love above and beyond all that this world has to offer. Here's the following things I want to leave you with today. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the word. That's where your faith comes from. I think, you know, today, I want to leave some of our visitors who are visiting here with us today. When you think about your relationship with God, I think what God wants from you today is an increasing desire to know him on an intimate basis. Desire, do you understand? We desire, we go to work every single day. You know, we eat physical food. Don't we eat? Do you understand? But spiritually speaking, is there a daily need in your life today about seeking God? It starts with what? Reading your Bible. And if you don't know how, it starts with you asking, please show me how. Simple, do you understand? This is ABC. This isn't rocket science. ABC, show me how. Please tell me. Tell me how. Do you understand? The need, the help that you need to help you spiritually. Secondly, a desire to obey God that supersedes the need to fulfill your own personal desires. Obedience. You know, let's look at some scriptures here. John chapter 8. Last set of scriptures we look at. Look at John chapter 8. John 8. John 8 verse 30. John chapter 8. God is love. And love made complete. Don't we all want God's love to be made complete in our lives? Don't we all want to? In John 8, the Bible says, many of us can turn there, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus says, if you hold to my what? If you hold to my... Did he say if you hold to my church attendance? My tick box mentality? He says if you hold to my teaching, you are really my what? Disciples. Then you know what? The truth, and that truth will what? Set you free. You are set free when you go into the word of God. You are set free when you put things into practice. I could be standing here today and say, you know what guys, I am the best swimmer since Michael Phelps. And some of you guys will say, can you give me some teaching? Can you give me some swimming lessons? You take me down to the Southern Leisure Center, I jump into the pool, I sink, and they're going to say, well, look at him. That's just an old liar right there. Isn't that right? Because you say you can in theory, but can we see the practice? And so you just say, you've got to hold too much and you've got to obey my teachings. In the world that we live in today, obedience has become very, very weak. People are very nonchalant. We throw the word around, you know what I'm saying? But to be obedient to Christ's words is a challenge. Obedience to his word. You know, in John 14, let's all go there. John 14, 15 and 23. Look at some scriptures here. John 14. John 14, verse 15. I am coming. Right. John 14, verse 15. Are we there? If you love me, all right, if you do what? Love me, you will do what? Obey what I command. Verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. I believe that's true love, you know, because, you know, in terms of true love, you know, there's an agreement on both sides. You got to agree that we're going to love each other. There's some boundaries, there's some expectations on both sides. Expectations. You know, our disobedience hurts God. You know, when we talk about the Jews, Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. It's not going by your feelings. Not doing the things you want, when you want to, and how you want to. It's not going by your feelings. It's a conscious decision. I am going to love God irrespective of how I feel. No matter how challenging it is, I am going to love my God. In a relationship, it's like me saying I have a relationship with God. God, I love you, but I love Satan at the same time. How can that be? Sweetheart, we've been married for 25 years, but I love X more. Oh, hello. But many people today walk around saying they love God, but their lives do not show it. Not by our feelings. It's not going by what is acceptable. We live in a society today where a lot of things have become acceptable. I'm going to throw out what I call some spiritual grenades. Sex before marriage has become acceptable. But everybody goes to church, everybody does it. Religious or not. That is not acceptable. We can't go by our feelings. It is not acceptable. We see the debates in the House of Commons about same-sex marriage. My Bible tells me one thing, the world is doing something else. Sorry. No. It is not acceptable. With God, there are some non-negotiables. And as a minister of the gospel, we're not going to go there. That's Bible. It's out in the papers. Well, we are saying it from the pulpits. Traditions that creep into the church. Good-hearted people. You know, confession of sin. Living the lives that we live. And sometimes we can get caught into that trap of the doctrine of acceptability. It is okay. It is okay to lie and still call myself a believer. It is okay, do you understand? It is okay, do you understand, to cheat on my wife, but I can come into church and say, hallelujah, praise God on a Sunday, because everybody does it. Guys, we got to watch out. Attending fellowship can become acceptable. I just show up. God is not interested in you showing up. He's interested in your heart. Wholehearted devotion and loving Him. Convenience. Oh, I'll only serve God when it is convenient. Guys, you know one thing? When the Bible says love with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, God wants your 100%. Nowadays, we want you on their own terms. You know, students, can I just love you once a week or once a month when it's convenient? That's not going to work. It's a daily thing. You know, so I'll buy you chocolates or I'll buy you gifts when Valentine's Day come. Birthdays are just Valentine's because, you know, that's a tradition. Everybody, hearts, convenience. And sometimes today, many of us, we want to do it only when it feels convenient. There's a sacrifice involved in loving God. There's a sacrifice involved. He gave. There's a sacrifice involved. Not just when you like. Do you understand? When I go to church, you know, Easter, Christmas, or when there's a, you know, no. He wants, it's a 24/7 thing. It's a convenience. My time is early up. I need to wind down now. You missed it today. I was going to share Galatians 5:19-21. Write that down as a reference. Because that was the first scripture that was showed me that really helped my heart when Roger Palo. That was my first introduction to the church. A list of sins. That a man sat down with me. I had the guts to say, your life, if you say you love God, then why are these things still in your life? The sins of immorality or lust or idolatry. Or dissensions or factions. Because sometimes we can look at immorality with us. Sometimes in our hearts there is a lot of bitterness and attitudes. And we come into the third door and say, and you take communion and the heart is reeking with sin. Don't work that way. Am I helping the fellowship here? I'm helping myself. Okay, fantastic. Amen. I know the amens are not loud. That means that you are convicted. I hope you are. But the hearts. The hearts. And you know one thing though? When Roger, when I was studying the Bible, when I felt challenged, I wanted to run away. But let me encourage you. Maybe some of you are studying the Bible right now. When the challenges come, don't pull back. Don't pull back. Amen. I was thinking, man, party. Woo! How am I going to survive without going to the party? I have some red shoes. I dyed them. Black when I became a disciple. Red. I dyed them. They're dead now. Gone. Recycling bin. But they were red. I have the old pictures. Brown suits, red tie, Imanu Rungaro. I was feeling good about myself. And I'm kind of thinking, man, they have to go. But I was thinking, can I really survive as a disciple of Jesus without sinning. That was the fear. That was the fear. Look around you here today. Talk to them. I gave up something and God came through. I saw in our hearts. You know what breaks my heart? Is the headline news today of a man who ran out of love. Wasn't really dealing with the sin in his heart. Oscar Pretorius, the Blade Runner. Big news. Isn't that right? I felt, man. Look at his life. Gone before him. Thinking. Guys, it just takes one act of madness. And your life goes down the drain. As I round up today, this morning, it talks about perfect love drives out fear. Let me just round this up. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What is the worst thing that can happen to you? You know the worst thing that can happen to you? You become a disciple, you die, and you go to heaven. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. And that's encouraging. That is encouraging. What is the worst thing? Maybe there is something in your life this morning from the past that haunts you. That you got to get open about. Or something in the present that upsets you. You got to get rid of it. Or something in the future that you kind of feel, this threatens me. When we talk about true love, God loves us, but there's always a cost and a sacrifice involved. You know, today we looked at 2 points. God is love. He loves you unconditionally. Doesn't matter what, freckles and all. Loves you. You are here because God will still love you and hurt and pain and cry until when you come back. But there's a sacrifice that you've got to make. Secondly, love is made complete. I hope that we're going to be confident when we stand before God on Judgment Day. Let's get rid of the fear, because perfect love drives out fear. He's a loving God. I can stand before you here 25 years later or more and say, it's been worth it. Thanks so much for listening. Let's be a people that love each other, hug each other, give each other, just the fellowship. And if you're visiting today, I really want to encourage you, ask the questions, open wide your hearts, so you can get the help you can get. God bless you all. Thank you so much for listening. Amen.